It's episode number 474, and today I want to talk about on Russ Talton. Let's cue that intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman Podcast.
Roadman, welcome back to another Roadman Cycling Podcast. It is episode number 474. Today, I want to talk about my favourite bike race, the Ross Talton. So step aside, Giro, Tour de France and Vuelta, because this is the king of the bike races. If you're not from Ireland and you don't know what I'm talking about, the Ross Talton is our national tour. It's our version of the Giro d'Italia or the Tour de France. It's our Tour of Ireland. 8 days every year it takes place over, except this year it's peeled back to 5 days. But we are welcoming it back after a 2 year break from COVID and the pandemic. So it's amazing to get it back on the calendar in any shape or form. As an 8 day race, it was typically a UCI 2.2 race, but it's been scaled back and it doesn't have UCI status this year. But that doesn't mean it's any less prestigious. If you win a stage at a Ross, if you happen to get across the finish line winning a stage of the Ross, you will never buy yourself a drink in Ireland again. This event, it was founded by Joe Crystal all the way back in 1953, and it's such a special event to anyone who's Irish or anyone that has any Irish heritage. As a bike rider in Ireland, no matter what you go on to do, the Ross is the highlight of so many people's career. You know, you see Nicholas Roach, who's now retired, talking about maybe he'll come back and do a Ross. His dad, Stephen Roach, famously won the Ross back in 1970. And I think he was asked, because Roach obviously won the Triple Crown. It's only him and Eddie Merckx that have ever completed the Triple Crown of the Giro d'Italia, Tour de France and Worlds in the same year. When he was asked about it, he said, "Yeah, but Eddie Merckx never won the Ross." That's how special it is. To finish the Ross, you get this monocle and you call it Man of the Ross. And that's a badge of honour. It's almost an accreditation among your peers, among other cyclists, that they know you can endure hardship, that you can put up with crashes, that you can get back up, that you can go through the process of training all winter to prepare for a race like this. I remember before I ever rode the Ross, I used to look at lads and you'd get a cap for taking part in the Ross, like a cotton cap that you wear under your helmet. And I'd see guys riding around wearing these cotton caps and I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And that really motivated me so much to just get into the Ross to get that cap. And what was the 2000 and let me journey back, it was 2007. Tony Martin, who went on to be world time trial champion, one of the best riders of a generation. Tony Martin won the Ross back in 2007, and I was actually marshalling the Ross that year. I was marshalling on the Black Hills in Skerry, which is the finishing circuit. And we had Ireland's Paddy O'Brien, who was riding for Ampost, and he was attacking Tony Martin on the Black Hills. And I was enthralled. I was hooked. I was just getting into cycling then, and I was like, that is it. No matter what it takes, even if I have to move mountains, put my entire life on hold, I'm going to do this race. And it wasn't until 2011 that I did get to do it, and it was such an honour, and I want to get into that in a second. But the Ross has this tradition for making legends. And the people who've had really big performances in the Ross, they've almost been immortalized in Irish cycling folklore and history. I'm talking about people like Gene Mangan, Shay O'Hanlon, Paddy Flanagan. They're just absolute legends. Like Mangan, he only won one Ross, but he won 12 Ross stages. O'Hanlon won the Ross 4 times and 24 stages. And Flanagan, I think he won it 3 times overall and 11 stage wins. These are absolute legends in Irish folklore, with big races is named after these guys. Sarah was away on Cycle Against Suicide a couple of weeks ago, and if you're following the Friday and Saturday podcasts, you will have heard about her, some of her experiences on this Cycle Against Suicide. And one of the guys on Cycle Against Suicide, Philip Cassidy, he is a 2-time Ross winner, another legend in Irish cycling, winning it in 1983 and 1999. What a gap, what longevity in the sport. So there's just been legend after legend. Like I mentioned, Mangan, Shay O'Hanlon, Paddy Flanagan, Phil Cassidy, Kieran Power, another legend, and multiple Ross winner. My experience, it definitely wasn't as glamorous as any of those guys I'm talking about. Like my first year riding the Ross, it was 2010, riding for UCD. And that year, I actually deferred my college exams to ride the Ross. And I went to the dean and I said, this could be my only chance to ever ride the Ross. Please let me postpone my exams. And I had to, you know, remonstrate with my parents to say, it's going to be my only chance ever to become a man of the Ross. Please let me postpone my exams. So I postponed my college exams, got to sit them as a first sitting later on in the summer. And I got to ride when my peers were off doing law exams. I got to ride my first Ross and I got to become a man of the Ross. I was so fresh and I was so green. I can't remember where I finished on GC. I had some good days and some bad days. I really didn't know what I was doing. And as a collective unit, I think it was the first time UCD had ever put a Ross team in. We had no idea what we were doing. From team card, someone bought off a friend like a couple of weeks out before the race, to roping friends into driving team cars, pulling favors from masseuses and mechanics. We were an absolute shambles of an organization, but we had a ball of a time, amazing fun, and some of the guys I rode my first Ross with, they're lifelong friends and experiences I look back on, you know, as long as I cycle. And my second year, I think somewhere between 2010 and 2011, I found a bit of legs, I found a bit of confidence, and 2011 I actually had a good ride. I think it was around 20th on GC at the end of it, and I was the second, what we call a county rider, the second rider without a contract on the general classification. So I was actually racing, I was at the front of the race and I was getting in moves, and it's been a race that has been good to me, but it's a race that is also a dangerous one. I crashed out of it in 2014. Can't remember very much about it at all. I hit the ground because someone in front of me hit the ground and I went down heavy and I was out cold. And I remember the doctor for the races, Conor McGrain, and he's actually was my GP at the time as well. And I remember Conor waking me up with some smelling salts because I was out cold. And I said to him, Conor, just put me back on my bike, because that's what the Ross is about. It's about finishing no matter what. Put me back on my bike and you can check me out at the finish line. And Conor was like, no, Anthony, not today. You're finished bike racing for today. You know, unbeknownst to me at that time, I had a bad concussion. My ear had been very badly severed and had to be stitched back on. I had to get a lot of stitches in the face because I had some deep gashes in the face and I had a broken collarbone and broken ribs. But you don't think about those things at the time because it's the adrenaline and the history that carries you and says, put me back on my bike. That was my only did not finish in the Ross, and it hurt. All that winter, I was gutted. There was other bike races and I won other races that year and I had great form that year. But really, the Ross is the only one that ever counts. And I had a neighbour at the end of my road. And even when I was off racing in France and I was away, you know, trying to chase professional contracts in Canada and America and, you know, getting a few quid for riding my bike, anytime I came home, all my neighbour would care about would be, what's your form looking like for the Ross this year? How's the legs coming for the Ross? I don't know if he was betting with his buddies because he used to race back in the day. But it's one of those races where it's chaotic. And I've always been lucky enough, apart from, I think, that first year, to get in the break and have a day out in the break at the Ross. And it's such a fun, amazing experience because you feel like you're the center of the cycling world. And you are. You have the motorbikes whizzing around you. You're going through towns and the school children are out. You know, in the background, the Twitter updates are flying and friends are tagging you on Facebook. The buzz that evening for getting in the break and almost making it to the finish. And, you know, I've never won a Ross stage and I wish I had, but the buzz, even that evening, people congratulating you for the ride and being in the break, and the next day, the kind of buzz you have off it as you're, you know, circling through the peloton and, you know, friends and peers are saying, you know, good job yesterday, good ride. That's the reward for the sacrifice. That's the reward for the hard training. That's the reward for when lads go for drinks and you go home. When people stay up late watching movies and you go to bed. That's the reward right there. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to anyone except men at a Ross. And I didn't race the Ross. I've started it eight times in the last nine editions, crashing out once. So it's going to be hard watching it from the sidelines this year. And the one time I didn't do it in the last nine editions, my training partner and my buddy, Sean McKenna, won a stage. And I remember just being absolutely glued to the Twitter updates all day. And I was as happy as if I'd won a stage that day when Sean won a stage. it's going to be a strange experience watching from the sidelines this year, and I'm kind of gutted that I'm not back riding the Ross this year. It'll be weird to finish on 8 Ross. I don't know why we're so attracted to big round numbers, but we are. It'd just be so nice to go out on 10, so who knows? I don't think the chapter is closed on my Ross career. But if you're not Irish and you don't know, you've had no interaction with the Ross before, it's a race I would highly recommend you following. Over on Twitter, I'll link it in the show notes, Ross Talton gave amazing updates. I spent all day yesterday refreshing, and great Irish rider, Matty Teggart, won yesterday's stage, which was absolutely brilliant to see. We've got some racing ahead of us, and I absolutely cannot wait to see who is crowned the 2022 Ross Talton champion. Roadmen, go and check it out, because it's an epic race and it's something for everybody to aspire to. I'll be back again tomorrow with my podcast with Sarah, which is, as I've said a couple of times now, consistently shocking me with how popular it is. The most popular episode of the week, every week. So I'm really happy to bring you another amazing episode tomorrow. Until then, roadmen, ride safe. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're getting value from the podcast, can I ask you for one small favor before you head about your day? Can you make a point of sharing episodes that you have enjoyed with friends who you think need to hear that message? Or better yet, if you get the episode link and share it into a club Facebook or WhatsApp group, whatever your particular club is using. I truly believe that we're building something valuable and something special here on the Roadman Cycling Podcast, but I need your help. I need the help of every single Roadman Cycling Podcast listener to spread the word. It is much appreciated, Roadman.